are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
This morning, the message is entitled Hard Conversations in a Faithful Family. Philippians chapter 4. When you found it, say amen. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this time in your word. We ask now for the help of your Holy Spirit that we might hear your voice as your word is read and proclaimed, that we might know you, Lord Jesus, in a deeper way and follow you more faithfully. Holy Spirit, open us now to the Word of God. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who alone is the Word made flesh. The people of God said amen. 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 Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Hear now the Word of God. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the first couple of years of our marriage, there were four words that would send my fight or flight response through the roof. There were four words that caused an internal alarm to go off. Four words that my wife would say that made me so tense that I subconsciously would look for the fastest way to exit, to run, to find any way to avoid the conversation. Now, contrary to what you might think, those words were not, you can't eat ice cream. I know what you people are thinking. For the first couple of years of our marriage, there were four words that made me run for the hills. Those four words were, we need to talk. We need to talk. It took me a couple of years to see that the reason I had such a negative reaction to those words was because subconsciously I assumed that they meant that I was being accused of doing something wrong. And so, in an attempt to protect myself, I would avoid hard conversations. Not only that, in my mind, those four words were simply the prelude, the beginning of a fight. And who wants to fight with someone you love? So again, I became a master at avoiding hard conversations. It took me a couple of years to realize that we need to talk was neither an accusation of wrongdoing nor the first step leading to a fight. It took me a couple of years to understand that when my wife said, we need to talk, that she saw a problem in our life together. And that she was inviting me to work with her, to think with her, to problem solve with her, so that together, so that together we might overcome any and every external or internal force that would threaten our unity. One of the strategies of the devil is to divide people, to divide families, marriages, communities, but mostly to divide the church. The devil knows that the unity of the church is precious, powerful, and of prime importance. And so he looks for any crack, conflict, resentment, or unresolved tension to exploit and infect with his unholy, life-destroying, relationship-wrecking schemes. And so, friends, it is of utmost importance that you and I be intentional about dealing with tension and conflict and disagreement. We must learn how to do the faithful, Jesus-honoring work of having hard conversations with one another. And I know this is such a challenge. This is such a challenge to us because for the most part, we would rather avoid or pretend as if we don't see conflict and tension. We want to bury our heads in the sand and hope that it all just goes away or fixes itself. But that kind of thinking provides an opportunity for the enemy to sneak in and set up shop. It's like doing nothing about an open wound, giving bacteria an opportunity to create an infection in the body. Listen, friends, the Lord Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to help us. The wisdom and discernment that we need is given through the power of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing we can't work through. There is nothing we can't talk through because we have the help of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to have to go to the Baptists or the Pentecostals because Presbyterians don't know when to say amen. So as part of our spiritual growth, part of our spiritual maturity, you and I must learn how to have hard conversations. In the first word, of our text this morning, verse 1, therefore, just the first word, therefore. Here's a hint, side note, hint. When you're reading your Bible, here's a helpful hint in interpreting your Bible. Whenever you see the word therefore, stop and ask, what is the therefore there for? And in this case, the therefore points back to everything we talked about last week. Remember what we talked about last week? Paul tells us to run this Christian race, to run with endurance. He compares the Christian life to a race, to a marathon. And he says the goal that we're running toward is spiritual perfection. We are running. We are straining. We are moving towards spiritual perfection. We won't get there until we cross the finish line of glory. But in this life, the Holy Spirit moves us toward spiritual perfection. Now, even though we're in this race, we talked about last week, we're all moving towards spiritual perfection, none of us are there yet. And because none of us are spiritually perfect, that means when you get a group of people together, even a group of Jesus-loving, Spirit-filled people, that there's going to be conflict, there's going to be tension. We are all a little like sandpaper, and sometimes we just rub each other the wrong way. But in rubbing each other the wrong way, God is smoothing out our rough edges. When I do premarital counseling, somewhere in the middle of the premarital counseling, I ask this engaged couple how much they love each other. And they're all starry-eyed and, oh, I love him and, oh, I love her. And then I ask them to turn and face one another. And then I say to them, look at this person you're going to marry. I know you're in love, but I got to tell you, the person you are about to marry is a sinner. And sinners sin. So at some point, this person that you love, this person that loves you, will hurt your feelings. At some point, there's going to be tension and conflict and trouble in your relationship, even though you love each other. Why? Because you have not reached that place of spiritual perfection. And so we have to learn, Derrida Church, how to have hard conversations. That's what our text from Philippians chapter 4 is about. In these three verses, Paul is directing the church to deal with disagreement. On the surface, this disagreement may not have been a big deal, but if left to fester, it could turn into major division. So, when everything within us wants to run away and avoid conflict, how can we, as a family of faith, have hard conversations with one another that advances the unity and spiritual growth of the entire family? Allow me to share five truths from the Word this morning. First, if you're going to have a hard conversation with someone in the body, first, watch your approach. Watch your approach. Watch how you enter the conversation. Don't go with an attitude that says, I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. Don't go like a volcano that's ready to explode lava. You're just holding it in and holding it in and holding it in. And when you go, bam. Look again at verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. In this verse, Paul calls the Philippian church to stand firm against all the external and internal forces that would destroy the church's unity. And before Paul calls out a difficult issue within that church, notice how he first piles up words of affection for the Philippians. Paul makes it clear that he loves and cherishes them and wants the best for them. Look at the words he uses in verse 1. He calls them brothers and sisters, whom I love, whom I long for, my joy and crown. And then he ends with, dear friends. As Paul prepares to call out something in the church, he first expresses his love for them. And friends, you and I can soften the blow of entering into a hard conversation by reminding people that we love them and care about them. What is true for most, if not all of us, is that when someone comes to us with something that we need to hear or something that needs to get talked through, it is just hard not to tighten up and get defensive. But a loving approach can soften the blow. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says this. I love these words. Colossians 4, verse 6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. I love that image. Let your conversation be seasoned with salt. Salt was used in the ancient world as a preservative. You're seeking to preserve the relationship. And so the apostle says, let your conversation be seasoned with salt. First, if you're going to have a hard conversation with a sister or brother, watch your approach. Second, if you're going to have a hard conversation, you got to be willing to create tension in order to resolve tension. You've got to be willing to create tension in order to resolve tension. Listen, when you have a hard conversation with someone, it is initially going to feel awkward and tense. There's no way to get around it. When you know you have to have a hard conversation, it is, in the beginning, going to be awkward and tense, but you've got to be willing to create some tension in order to resolve a greater tension. You have to have enough courage and security about who you are in Jesus to enter into that tension so that you can resolve the situation. Again, be willing to create tension in order to resolve a greater tension. And listen, most of us like being liked. We like being liked, and we certainly don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. And so it's easier. It's easier see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. It's easier to be quiet and just ignore and avoid talking about hard subjects. It's one reason why our country still hasn't gotten further in ethnic reconciliation, because we just don't want to talk about hard things. But faithfulness in relationships and faithfulness in leadership means that we've got to be willing to embrace tension in order to resolve tension. Look at the second part of verse 2. The second part of verse 2, Paul writes, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche. So here's the situation. There were two women in the church, Euodia and Syntyche, who are having a dispute. Now, even though it's not a problem here, before we go further, let me say that some would abuse and misuse this text to deny women leadership in the church. But Paul notes here that these are women who work side by side with him in the spread of the gospel. They're having a dispute. They're having some kind of dispute in the church there at Philippi. And Paul doesn't ignore it. Paul does not think it a small and insignificant matter. He sees it as a threat to the unity and health of the church. He doesn't ignore it, saying, well, you know, that's really kind of none of my business. It's just between the two of them. Like, it was possible for them to be winning people over to their side. And the next thing you know, you have two groups at war with each other and not just two individuals. And so here in the text, Paul calls them out by name. He calls them out by name. I mean, get the picture. Get how awkward this would have been. Paul wrote this letter from jail. We know he was in jail in Rome. He wrote this letter. It would have been carried hundreds of miles to the city of Philippi. The Christians in Philippi would have gathered on the Lord's Day. They would have gathered on a Sunday for worship like we are doing this morning. And in the context of worship, this letter would have been read in its entirety to the whole church. Can you imagine what it would have been like sitting there in worship, hearing this letter from the Apostle Paul, and your name? Right? I wonder if they had any idea this would be like Bible. Right? Your name is written in the text. I plead with Euodia. I plead with Syntyche. Cut it out. I mean, can you imagine sitting there in the pews, your name is mentioned, and everyone in the church turns towards you, right? How's that for wanting to slide underneath your chair? Right? Awkward. But Paul creates tension in order to resolve tension. He creates faithful tension in order to resolve unhealthy, unholy tension in the church. Now, some of us have the kind of personality that quickly calls out and addresses issues. We have to focus more on having a loving approach. Many of us, however, need courage to enter into hard conversations, courage to lean into creating this kind of tension. So if you're one of those people that needs help in this area, call on the Holy Spirit to help you. Say, Lord, you know that I would rather not deal with this, but I want to be faithful. So Lord, help me, help me, help me. Friends, be willing to create tension in order to resolve tension. Third, if you're going to have a hard conversation with someone, focus on unity in Jesus. Focus on unity in Jesus. Look at the second half of verse 2. Paul calls on Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. To be of the same mind in the Lord. To be of the same mind means to agree. It means to find common ground. And Paul tells them to find this common ground in the Lord. Friends, understand, ultimately, our faithful leaning into having hard conversations with our sisters and brothers is about trusting Jesus to be sufficient to reconcile. I mean, just think about what we believe. We believe that Jesus shed his blood and died on a cross as the atoning sacrifice to reconcile us sinners to the holy God. We believe that in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the bridge that spans the gulf between us and God that our sin created, that bridge is secure, is created secure in Jesus, in his life, death, and resurrection. And if we can trust Jesus to reconcile us to God, then surely we can trust him to reconcile us to one another. Fourth, if you're going to have hard conversations, seek peacemakers and be peacemakers. Seek peacemakers and be peacemakers. Look at the beginning of verse 3. Paul writes, "And I ask you, my true companion, help these women." Here, Paul is calling on someone in the church to step up. Paul is calling on someone in the church to step up and help Euodia and Syntyche with their dispute. And friends, you already know that sometimes in your family, sometimes in your marriage, and sometimes in your church, you need a third party to help settle a situation. We need to seek peacemakers for help. We need to seek peacemakers. But Paul is also telling us here that we need to be peacemakers. We need to be peacemakers. Sometimes when we hear about a tension, a problem, a dispute in the church, we think that's just none of my business. And we steer clear of the conflict. But we need to be led by the Spirit to know when we ought to step in and be a peacemaker. Our Lord Jesus once said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." And it's hard, it's hard. I'm telling you, it's hard work to be a peacemaker, because when you step in to someone else's conflict, you got to be prepared to get fired at from both sides. But you do it. You do it because you love the body. You love God's people. You do it in order to see disputes resolved and people reconciled. You do it to see the whole body be unified and healthy and growing. It is a sickness in the body to let tension go on for a long time. It's a sickness in the body when a group of people go off on in a corner and they talk about a situation in the church and not deal with it openly. It is a sickness in the body, and you become a peacemaker. You step into that difficult situation because you want to see the healing and wholeness and health of God's family. Sometimes in your family, sometimes in your marriage, sometimes in your church, you just need a third person to help settle a dispute. Fifth and finally, if you're going to have a hard conversation with a sister or brother, you got to see them. You got to see them in light of the gospel. See people in light of the gospel. Look at the second half of verse 3. Paul writes, they, speaking of Euodia and Syntyche, they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Wow. Whose names are in the book of life. The book of life is God's record of those who belong to him, God's record of those who are citizens of his eternal kingdom. It's God's record of those who are members of his family. And the way you get your name written in the book is through faith in Jesus, faith in his life, his death, and his resurrection to rescue you from sin and death and to reconcile you to God. That's how you get your name in the book. And so when we deal with one another, we see each other as brothers and sisters, daughters and sons of the Lord. We see each other as the precious people for whom Jesus bled and died. We do not have hard conversations to condemn. We can't condemn because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Instead, we lovingly seek to correct, to clarify. If one of us had a shoulder out of joint, we would have to do the hard, unpleasant work of helping them push that shoulder back into place. Initially, there is pain, but it's a pain that leads to healing. Let's see each other in the light of the gospel. And listen, you not only need to see other people, you need to see yourself in light of the gospel. You need to see yourself in light of the gospel because the day will come in which you are the subject of a hard conversation. The day will come in which a sister or a brother or an elder may say to you, "We need to talk." And you've got to have enough security about who you are in Jesus to stay put in that conversation and listen and not run and not get defensive and not fight. In the end, hard conversations benefit you. They benefit your family. I've learned that they definitely benefit your marriage, and they benefit the church. Hard conversations led by the Holy Spirit, hard conversations led by the Spirit bring strength because they close up those gaps that the devil is looking to enter into. Hard conversations will seal those cracks, those divisions right up. Hard conversations benefit us because they help bring us to spiritual maturity. Hard conversations benefit us because they build confidence that together we can deal with even bigger issues. Once my wife and I learned to problem solve, I was like, oh, we can do this. So come problems, come challenges, come. We've dealt with these. Now we can deal with bigger ones. Having hard conversations will benefit you because they create a greater closeness, a greater intimacy, greater trust. We can trust each other to help us work through hard things. But most of all, hard conversations bring glory to the Lord Jesus. So I got to ask you this morning, Dorada Church, what kind of hard conversations do we need to have here? What are some of the things that we see, but we're not talking about, at least not openly? What are some of the things that we kind of need to go to a brother or sister, or maybe a group of brothers and sisters, and say, hey, we need to talk. May we be a family of faith that shuts down the work of the enemy, that helps our sisters and brothers grow up, that brings glory to the Lord Jesus through hard, real, awkward, yet faithful conversations. Because in the power of the Holy Spirit, there is nothing we can't work through. There is nothing with the help of the Holy Spirit that we can't talk through. Amen? Amen. Thanks be to God.